10. Oracle. 13 seconds later, Lorgar collapsed alone. He didn't feel the croziers fall from his nerveless fingers. He didn't feel anything but the breath sawing in and out of his abused body. On instinct, he dragged his broken bones closer, curling upon the sand in fetal echo of the time he spent gestating in his genetic life pod. He could taste blood. His own blood. How different it was from the chemical-thick piss running through a legionary's veins, or the molten-sick richness of the dead demon. The air is too thin. In his heavy-eyed delirium, his own thoughts came in Ingathel's voice. And my lungs are pierced by spears of rib. For a time, he lay there, struggling to stay alive, breathing blood-wet air into weak lungs. The demon died with the same maddening dissolution of so many etheric insanities in this haunted realm. As for Ingathel, the Primarch had no idea. He would check soon. Not yet. Soon. He had to.
No more tests, Anathema's son, said a voice. One last test, Anathema's son, said another, similar to the first, but somehow flawed.
It was as if a botched cloning had lightly scarred the voice's timbre. The Primarch hauled himself over, blinking bloody eyes up at another winged figure. This one was grotesquely avian, with stinking, withered wings and two vulture's heads. While it would have towered above a mortal man, it was a hunched and decrepit thing by the standards of its demon kin, closer in size to Ingathel.
I am the one sent to judge you, both heads said at once. I am tired of being judged.
The Primarch lay on the sand and laughed, though he couldn't think what was funny.
I bring the chance for a final truth, said one of the creature's heads, in a Corvidian core. I bring the final lie you will hear,
its second head croaked, just as sincere as the first. No shade of amusement shone in any of the four pebble-black eyes.
I am done with this,
the Primarch grunted. Even rising to his feet was a trial. He could feel his bones sliding awkwardly together, jagged pieces of a puzzle that no longer fit cleanly.
That, he breathed, is most unpleasant.
Lorgar, said the creature's right head. Aurelian, said the left.
He didn't answer them. Limping, he moved to retrieve his Croesus from the sand. Its active power field had scorched the ground to black glass. When he lifted it, it had never felt so heavy.
Ingathel, Lorgar sighed. I am done with this. I have learned all I need to learn. I am returning to my ship.
There was no answer. Ingathel was nowhere to be seen. The bland desertscape offered no hope of determining direction. He turned back to the two-headed creature.
Leave me be, lest I destroy you as I destroyed the Unbound.
Both wizened heads bobbed in acknowledgement.
If you could banish the Unbound, the first said, you could easily banish me as well.
Or perhaps I am more than I appear to be,
the second hissed.
Perhaps you are weaker now, and you would fall before my sorcery.
Lorgar shook his head, seeking to tame his swimming senses. The air was so painfully thin. It made all thought difficult.
I bring you a choice, Lorgar.
Both heads spoke at once, sharing the same serious, watery-eyed expression. He limped over to his overturned helm, lifting it from the ground and shaking sand from its interior. Both eye lenses were cracked.
Speak, then.
The demon fluttered its wings. Vestigial, skinny things. Lorgar doubted the creature could even fly. Small wonder that it squatted on the sand, leaning upon its bone staff as a crutch.
I am Kairos, both heads said at once. The mortal realm will come to know me by another name. Fate Weaver.
Lorgar's desire to show respect for the god's agents had faded somewhat in the last hour. The words came through gritted teeth.
Get on with it.
The future is not entirely unwritten,
both heads spoke again. Their wrinkled features were strained by effort, as if speaking with unity was a great challenge.
confluences exist as sureties. There will come a time when war breaks out across the Imperium of Man, and you will once again face the brother you despise.
Lorgar's kindly eyes, already weary, now grew cold. I do not despise my
You cannot lie to me, One Head said.
And if you try, I will always see through to the truth, said the other.
The Primarch forced himself to nod, before placing his helm back on. It took a moment for the cracked eye lenses to flicker into clarity, but a grainy picture materialized soon enough. Curiously, Lorgar couldn't see the demon through his left eye lens, merely the horizon beyond. In his right eye, the creature sat in hunched repose.
Get on with it, he growled this time.
Three of his teeth were loose and bleeding.
It will happen at Kalth, the right head said.
Or it will happen, yet not at Kalth, said the left,
though its placid tone wasn't one of argument. Lorgar still tasted blood in the back of his mouth. His eyes wouldn't stop watering, and he suspected the pain in the bridge of his nose was a mashing break that would need resetting.
What will happen?
You will face Gilliman.
Both heads squawked in eerie unison.
And you will slay him.
Lorgar hesitated. To consider it, truly, was almost beyond him. Even if there was no way to avert the coming crusade, did it truly have to come to such measures as fratricide? His own selfishness was a surprise. With a shake of his head, he considered the other side of the coin. Was fratricide worse than genocide? The loss of life would be immense on both sides of the divided Imperium, among the faithful and the ignorant. He had to focus.
Go on.
I am Kairos, the Oracle of Tzeentch, said both heads. I am bound to always speak one truth and one lie.
The creature rattled its withered wings. Several blue-black feathers, the color of ugly bruises, drifted from its pinions.
But this is a moment of great divinity, a nexus of possibility, a fulcrum. The great gods have bound me to speak only the truth in this moment of moments. I am sworn now to stand before the chosen of the Pantheon and offer a choice. Now and never again I may speak with one mind. No lies, no words of deceit from one mouth and words of truth from another. This now is too important. The gods are in alignment for the first time in an eternity.
And the Unbound?
Both heads regarded Lorgar with impassive, unblinking eyes.
Carnath violated the accord, but the Blood God is still bound by it, still oathed to it. The Pantheon of Heaven is kin to the Primarch Pantheon of your species. They wage war amongst themselves, just as you will wage war against your brothers. Existence is strife.
To strive, the second head added, is to live.
The thought chilled Lorgar's blood. A convocation of warring gods.
I understand.
No, the first head said. You do not.
But you will, the second nodded, in the decades to come.
I bring you a choice, added the first head. Face Gilliman and slay him.
Or let him live, finished the second, and taste the shame of defeat.
Lorgar wanted to laugh, but the creeping sense of unease held the mirth back.
How is that a choice?
Because of Kalth, both heads replied.
One was silently weeping now, the other grinning with beakish malice. Could a bird grin? Somehow this one did. Lorgar couldn't help but stare.
You must choose whether you walk a path of personal glory or one of divine destiny, said the first head.
The second spoke through its crystalline tears.
You must choose whether you will stand among your brothers as an equal, with vengeance as your goal, or work in the name of the gods, tasting shame for a greater victory.
I am not a vain man.
Lorgar felt his broken ribs aching as they slowly re-knitted beneath his armor and flesh.
I seek enlightenment for the species, not self-glorification.
You will end this war with many scars,
the first head lowered in bizarre respect.
Or you will end it dead, nodded the second, in one of a thousand ways.
Get, Lorgar forced the words through a barricade of teeth, to the point, creature.
Kalth, the first head intoned, you will be given one chance, and only one chance, to shed Gilliman's blood. It is written in the stars, by the hands of the gods. If you face him at Kalth, you will slay him.
But you will lose the war, said the second. You will earn your brother's respect and awe. You will savor your vengeance, but your holy war will falter. The Emperor's defenses will be enriched by too many defenders, drawn there by fates that would otherwise have been denied. You may never even reach Terra.
Lorgar turned from the demon, shaking his head in wonder at their offer. Like ruined wings, the remains of his cloak flapped in the breeze.
Is this prophecy? If I fight Gilliman, I am destined to win, yet I will lose all I sought to achieve.
The demon's first head hawked and spat bloody saliva in a thick string. As it coughed, the second head spoke.
It is prophecy. You will not always be the lost one, Lorgar, the weakest of your brothers. You will find your strength in this faith. You will find fire and passion and become the soul you were born to be. That is why Gilliman will die at your feet, if you choose to make it so. Fight him at Kalth, and you will finish the battle with his blood on your face. You crave that temporal triumph, and it could be yours.
The first head twitched with sudden movement, regarding him with its beady bird's eyes.
But the cost is high. To bring about this future, you will be at Kalth, instead of standing in the place your species most needs you to be in that ordained hour. If you face your brother Gilliman and choose human honor over the destiny of your species, you will kill him. Yet in doing so, you will fail in your hopes of setting humanity free from ignorance.
I say again, that is no choice at all.
Both heads laughed.
Is that so? You are human, whether you choose to confess to it or not. You are a slave to mortal emotions.
The Primarchs are far from a perfection of the human recipe, despite their individual might.
There will come a time, the first head smiled with beak-creaking amusement, when your pride and passion will demand that you destroy the warrior king of Ultramar.
The second nodded in accord.
But weigh the balance, Emperor's son. A moment of personal glory, proving to your brothers that you are ascendant among them, or paving the way for the future of your species. All prophets make sacrifices, do they not? This will become one of yours.
If, the first finished, you live long enough to make it.
Lorgar said nothing for some time. He listened to the wind toying with his tattered cloak and the withered feathers on the demon's wings.
Show me, he said in a soft voice.
The ship burned. On the deck around him lay 100 dead mortals and slain ultramarines. The walls of the stratagem shuddered, venting air pressure and feeding the flames sweeping across the entire bridge deck. Thrones stood in flames. The fire was already cremating those that had fallen in the last few minutes. Lorgar saw himself at the heart of the flames, his croziers in his gauntlets. The image wore red armor, in mirror of the word-bearers he had seen at the Eternity Gate, and cast its maul aside with an angry flourish. Whatever battle it had been fighting had taken its toll. The image of himself stood in cracked armor, with its face blackened by burn scarring.
For Monarchia,
the image of Lorgar raged through bleeding gums and split lips, for watching me kneel in the dust of my many failures. At first, Lorgar couldn't make out who his image was addressing. Then, with grim and wounded majesty, Gilliman staggered from the flames. Silently defiant, even as his armor blackened into a burning ruin, the Lord of Macragg drew a gladius. His helm was gone, bearing a face that remained stoic despite a crushed skull. One arm was gone, ending at the elbow. Blood ran in viscous rivulets from the joints of his armor. His white cloak was aflame. Lorgar's image threw his hand forward. Psychic energy, so intensely golden it aborted direct sight, haloed and crowned his head with three etheric horns. A wave of unseen force pounded into the ultramarine liege, hurling him back through the fire and against the wall beyond. Gilliman crashed to the deck,
a twitching, ragged marionette with severed strings. And then, with his remaining hand, he reached for the fallen gladius again. Lorgar crushed the hand beneath a crimson boot. "This, my brother, is for every life lost in the name of a lie!" Lorgar hauled the Lord of Macragge up by the throat, smashing him back against the wall even as he strangled him. "Your fleet burns! Your astral kingdom dies next!" Gilliman managed to smile. Lorgar faced the twin-headed demon again.
"I must see more." "You have seen all you need to see," both heads chorused.
"I do not understand." At the last, he seemed amused. The Primarch winced at the pain of his heart thudding against broken ribs.
"How can that be?"
But he knew. At least, he could guess. He had seen that look in Gilliman's cold warlord's eyes before. Not anger, not wrath. Disappointment, bordering on disbelief.
"What have you done wrong this time?"
The accusation came in Gilliman's arch, solemn voice, as if proclaimed by their father himself.
"What have you ruined now? What lives have been lost because of your foolishness?"
Lorgar's lip curled.
He knew something. Even as he died, he knew something.
"He hates you," said the demon's first head. "He was amused to learn he was right about you. That you were, as he always suspected, a traitor in waiting."
The second head shook in dismissal.
"No, he has never loathed you, Lorgar. You have always imagined his hatred. He does not respect you, for you are too different to find common ground, but your imagination has always been the source of the feud between you."
The Primarch cursed.
"Which one of you is telling the truth?"
"I am," they both said at once. Lorgar swore again.
"Enough. Tell me then. If I am not at Kalth, where should I be? What path must I walk to enlighten my species?"
"I am not your seer, Emperor's son," the first head rasped. "I have given you the choice. You will make it in time."
"If,"
the second matched its tone completely,
"you live that long."
The creature spread its wings.
"Wait, please."
It didn't wait.
"All be decided in ultima segmentum, Lorgar. Vengeance or vision, glory or truth."
The Primarch raised his hand to plead for more time, but the demon was gone in the time it had taken to blink. He found his prey coiled upon itself, curled in some grotesque fetal parody of reptilian gestation. But all rage had bled from him. He couldn't help but see the young maiden shaman that had whored her life away to become this thing. Not for glory or gain, but for faith. He doubted she existed as more than an echo in the creature's mind, but the idea itself was enough to bleed the anger from his body.
"Ingathel," he said, "do you live?"
Its fingers twitched, several of them, on all four of its hands. The sky was darkening now. With the night came the cold. Lorgar replaced his cracked helm, breathing deep of his internal air supply.
"Ingathel," he said again.
The demon's bones creaked as it slowly rose.
"I live. Not for much longer, but for now, I live."
It turned its monstrous face to his. Cataracts milked its abominable eyes.
"All is done. You have witnessed all that had to be seen."
"How much was true?" demanded Lorgar.
"All of it,"
replied the demon.
"Or none. Or perhaps something in between."
Lorgar nodded.
"What if there was more I wish to see? You have shown me what the gods demanded I bear witness to. Now show me what I wish to see."
The demon curled its twiggish arms close against its broad, speckled chest.
"This is permitted. What would you have me show you, Emperor's son?"
He paused for a moment, seeking the right words.
"I've seen what I must do to ensure victory. I've seen the fate of the galaxy if the Emperor's lies are not challenged. Now I wish to walk other worlds in this great eye.
If this is the gateway to the heaven and hell of human myth, show me more of it. Show me the possibilities in these mutable worlds. Show me what the warp can offer humanity if we concede to this merging of flesh and spirit.
I can do all of this, Lorgar. As you wish.
The Primarch hesitated.
And before I return to the Imperium, there is one thing I must see above any other.
Name it.
Lorgar smiled behind the emotionless faceplate. Show me what happens if we lose.